Good evening. Welcome to the May meeting of the Pacific Northwest section of the Audio Engineering Society.
April.
Did I say May?
Yeah.
No. I wish it was June we'd get here.
Where's June? Not sticking December.
What?
Not sticking December like we've been doing?
Yeah. And definitely not sick in December, which I've been. My name is Rick Shin. I'm the section chair and webmaster, and I welcome all of you. We have a little bit of business to go. But I think the first thing we'll do is, now that I've introduced myself, I'll let you introduce yourselves. So would each of you stand, talk to the group, and tell people your name and your connection to audio. And we'll start from there.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rob Baum. I'm an audio test and measurement engineer. I just moved up to Seattle Sunday night.
I'm Brandon Chang, and I'm Jake's student at the Institute.
I'm Nick Alexander, also a student at Art Institute of Seattle.
Bruce Brown, Page of Sound Studios. I'm a master's engineer.
Dan Mortensen, I do live sound for concerts, and I'm a dealer for a couple of lines, and also on the ADS committee.
My name is Frank Lippard, and I'm from New York, born in Washington, and I'm retired, and I'm in this part of the country.
Retired producer from New York.
I'm Bob Smith, and during the day I work with Visual Control as an acoustic researcher, and at night I run BS Studios and do sound for labs and do testing.
Mike Pateski, I'm a member of the AES program committee. I own Opus 4 Studios, musician, studio workers, performers as well.
Bob Gudgel, I'm on the local committee, and an electronic engineer, basement studio geek. We're currently in a renewable energy.
My name is Mike. I'm a fourth grade teacher and a home recording enthusiast. So I'm
Lindsay Smith. I design sound and video systems for radio.
I'm Drew Katie. I work at Amazing Engine. I do sound effects for video games.
Mark Bobber. I do film composition and music production.
Doug Zangar, just a music survivalist.
Melissa Weaver, I'm a student at AIS.
Adam Whiteman, I'm a student of Pompex at AIS.
Ty Juvenile, I'm a student at Art Institute of Seattle. I'm interested in live sound and engineering, basically anything to do with music, and I DJ on the side of the time too. So.
Hi, I'm Adam Slater. I'm also a student at AIS and a student at Jake Primes.
I'm Derek Davis. I'm a system designer for Magnolia Audio and Video, and I have a 5.1 mastering studio.
I'm Rick Rodriguez. My day job, I'm a design engineer at Fluke Corporation, and for fun, I do onboard guitar and bass transportation.
Rene Yeager, the analog engineer at Lyric Technology.
I'm Dave Francois. I'm treasurer of the section, and I'm a technical writer at Mackie. Oh, I mean Loud Technology.
Dennis Saunders, and I'm with Voice of Bash on radio.
Hello. John Lee, music enthusiast.
Charles Oxley, also music enthusiast, and for fun at our studio.
I'm Wes Ashman. I'm a recent contractor with Live Technologies and audiophile and software engineer.
I'm Keith Evans. I was the director of the Digital Music Program at Edwards-Lee College.
and now I'm between gigs, which is a nice way of saying it.
Janie Wallach, I record live music.
Hi, I'm Rick Smarkiassi. I run a small sound company called Integrated Light and Sound. We do light, sound, and video. I also work over at the Seattle Center as a sound tech, and I also work as a stagehand. I occasionally do radio.
I'm Darren. I'm a software engineer at Microsoft. I work in several audio codecs and audio signal processing.
Andy Hall, South Sound Audio, and I'm also an audio and video technician at Safeco.
I'm Lars Nefter. I'm a systems consultant for ADL Professional, audio engineer, music enthusiast.
I'm Kevin Jablonski, patent attorney with focus in electrical and audio parts.
My name is Jim Marks, and I'm a recording engineer, and I invented a musical instrument that I'm working on getting funded through the CM. It's a surround sound instrument.
Steve Turner, mastering engineer and circuit board designer.
And vice chair of the world.
Tom Monahan, by day, senior project manager at Starbucks, and enthusiast engineer production.
My name is Aaron Gates, project manager in broadcast systems installation and social architect.
Tom Faffel, audio instructor at Art Institute of Seattle, and I also own and operate the Tanks Hotel in Black Diamond.
Bill Gibson, production company called Northwest Music Recording. I write books and am at the Art Institute on the career side, helping all these fine young students find gigs.
I'm Raphael, I'm Sam's student at Shoreline Community Club.
Dan Burroughs, front of house guy at the Beer Project in Super Toronto.
My name's Brian Kirchwell. I'm just an onlooker.
Steve Dooley, live sound engineer.
Art Arzaga, student Art Institute.
Adam Burr, I'm an AV tech at Microsoft and an assistant engineer at Moscato Music.
Tara Davis, Art Institute student.
I'm Julian Chavez. I'm actually Art Institute student too, but I also do freelance live sound gigs occasionally.
I'm Ben Shaw, freelance engineer.
I'm Johnston. I'm a member of the section committee and the chief engineer at Rural Audio.
Brandon Smith. I work in audio signal processing, also at Rural Audio.
I'm Jeff Thompson. I'm a signal processor at Rural Audio.
I'm Dean Jensen. I'm a music librarian at Seattle Public Library. And
I'm Gary Skogen. I'm the CEO of Rural Audio.
Aaron Warner, software engineer at Rural Audio.
I'm Ivan Schwartz. I'm with Tannoy North America. And I also do live engineering and also recording.
My name is Joshua Scott. I'm a student at the Art Institute of Seattle.
Kiwi!
I'm Kiwi Lide. I'm a student at the Art Institute of Seattle.
I'm Jake Bryan, and I'm on the committee. And I teach at the Art Institute and at Cornish. And I'm a mastering engineer and a DJ and a composer.
Interesting cross-section as usual. Let's see, other business. The Society. The Audio Engineering Society is a worldwide organization devoted to promoting audio and audio education. The Society holds two conventions per year, one in Europe, one in the United States. The U.S. convention alternates between the West Coast and the East Coast. This year it's the West Coast, and we're lucky to have it in San Francisco. That happens in the fall. The Society also publishes the Journal of the Audio Engineering Society, which is a peer-reviewed journal, kind of in the same vein as the Journal of the Acoustical Society or the AMA or any other professional group like that. You should join if you're sincerely interested in the audio, want to further what you know. You should join. Your membership dues help the society run sections like this one, which are all scattered all over the world and all over the United States. And we get some of your money back to help run the section here. Yes, Dan?
You should do a count.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I will. So since Dan so thoughtfully prompted it, I need a show of hands of all AES members. Who's counting?
You are.
Okay. We're just doing it after the mix.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 22 plus or minus 1 dB. Headquarters likes to know how many members are actually showing up. I'm sad to announce that the Port Townsend event, which was supposed to happen this coming weekend, will not happen. We never got, although we got the critical mass we needed to move forward with the planning, we never got the critical mass of people voting with their checkbooks and credit cards to make the event a reality. Now, I'm just curious, of the people who are here who showed interest, if you didn't, if you decided in the end that you couldn't do this, you can tell me by a show of hands, was the reason the money? No, okay. The time commitment required, 3 days, is that too much? There's one, two, two and a half. Okay, and what about distance? Was Port Townsend perceived as being too far away? Or in the ferry boat, too odious to ride? No? Okay. We'll try to take that into consideration if we try to plan another event like this. What about weekend versus weekday? We had got some discussion on email about, you know, weekend as well. If you're a live sound guy, chances are that's when you're working. But there's other people who would have been interested who have 9-to-5s or go to school during the week and have weekends off. So I don't know if that's a factor or not. Yes, no, Dan? You're a weekend warrior. That's work time. Okay. Elections are coming up. The section has people that help put on these meetings. There's four officers who get elected yearly, and 10 committee people who get elected every other year. So we always have some new blood and some old blood. So if you're interested in being a part of putting the meetings on and helping us plan new meetings, let somebody know, and we'll make the arrangements. You do need to be a member in order to run for election and serve on the committee. We will announce the slate of candidates next month and hold the actual election in June. So if you are a member, I do ask that you try to make the June meeting, and we'll try to pick something that's hyper-interesting to make it worth your while. The May meeting is slated for the 20th of the month at Opus 4 Studios, and because of studio capacity, you'll need the RSVP, and I'll set that up on the website. And our guest for that, what?
55.
55 is the magic number. So 56 turns into a pumpkin. Our guest that evening will be Frank Lyko, who's sitting here. And for those of you who don't know, I recommend that you go Google his name, number one. Number two, look on Columbia Records releases from the 50s and 60s. Is that accurate, Frank? The body of work speaks for itself. Okay, without further ado, here's Jake Perrine to introduce tonight's guest.
Before I do that, I just want to thank Youngstown. This place where we're at, it's an incredible venue. For those of you who haven't been here before, it's a pretty unique endeavor here in Seattle. This used to be a elementary school, and now it's
artist lofts, rent-controlled artist lofts on three floors in all the old classrooms upstairs. And on this floor, there's a dance studio, the theater here, a little recording studio. I believe there's a pottery room, and there's a computer lab and access for all the people who live upstairs. Pretty incredible. So I want to thank Sarah and Christian, Laszlo, and our two interns in there, Matt and Kiwi. Come on. Thank you guys for making this happen. Dave asked me to interview him, interview style, so I'm going to make a trip up here on this couch. Yes, please. This is David Miles Huber, and some of you know him. Dave is a man about town, and has written several books on audio that are quite popular. That's the halftime show in there, by the way, so they're just warming up. It's all part of the plan. Dave has written several books, including Modern Recording Techniques, which is a staple textbook at Art Institute. We use at Recorder. We've been using that since, I think, the first edition. And the MIDI manual, which I use in my MIDI class, and the Microphone Bible. So there you go. There's all that. And he's an adventurer in surround sound and has a studio and a record label here in town that he's going to talk about a little bit tonight. So David Miles Huber.
Without further ado, I'm gonna do something for you, because I'm a firm believer in that volume.
Dave, I gave you a 58.
Yes, Sarah. Okay, I'll use it. I hate using microphones, but I have to put on another set, so I have to put it down again.
That's why it's easier for me to talk right now. Firm believer that it's better to just do it than just talk about it. At least it's no fun talking about surround if you haven't heard it. So let's start off by doing it. Right.
actually forgot I was up here.
Cheers. Another one?
Yeah.
We did battling RF a little bit.
I'll just try this one out, Sarah.
We're battling the Walt Disney Tower out back.
Oh, you know, yeah. Mickey
Mouse.
You're broadcasting. Yeah, Mickey, it's the original Mickey Mouse setup, right? Everybody can't escape it around here.
Wow. Is that worse?
It does seem worse.
Yeah, it's much worse. I can talk pretty loud.
Jake, go.
We can go acoustic.
No.
Unplugged, baby.
I just hand the one that works back and forth.
Okay, I'll wait for you, Sarah. You're the boss.
Okay, Jake, are you hearing it now?
No.
Perfect. Share that channel.
So, can you hear me on this?
Well, it's not up. No.
Yeah, it's not up. You want to bring this one up?
That one is listening to Jake's.
Hey.
Jake's was better than this.
Technology at its finest. Is it working now? It sounds like a little bit, but I can't tell.
Jake,
apparently
that one was worse of the two. So big games out. There you go.
No, just
that's better. No.
Probably going to slap that ferrite around it.
All right.
That's acceptable.
As I see you real soon. So you're going to play some other demos for us yet?
I just talked for a little bit. I just wanted to get an intro thing. It's never... Oh, that's right. Sorry, microphone. You can hear me okay?
Yep, with the mic.
With the mic, you got it. The one thing is I at least wanted to start out with you guys hearing something. There was a tape op convention about 3-4 years ago where I think a certain person might remember how livid I was that there was a talk on surround and they never pressed the play button once. And I hit the ceiling. Because, you know, you can't talk about surround. There's no reason, you know, you have to experience surround. You can't talk about it. It's like talking, you know what I mean. And so that's what you do. It's the first thing to get that out of the way is to start listening.
I noticed that that particular track was at 51.07 BPM. Not 51.
Yeah. Okay, all right, fine. Thanks, Jake. Oh, boy. So that brings up my history. Wow. All right. Started out at a very, 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 very early age in recording. And I wanted to be an engineer, and I got to be an engineer and working in, you know, New York and London and doing all sorts of stuff, and I found that I actually didn't like it. It wasn't my calling. It's not what me was meant to do, which is totally different than what you are meant to do, whatever that is. And you know, in this room there was like probably 100 you were meant to do's in this room, and but for me, I didn't like making music for other people. I prefer doing it for myself. And when electronic music and just sort of worked into that, it sort of worked its way into my life and started to intermingle and started dealing with electronic instruments. And some of my first toys, so I guess the reason for this, my website is 51bpm.com, and it's like, why would it be 51bpm.com? And I started out with toys that were German Quasi-MIDI out of Germany, out of Deutschland, which is amazing analog modeling synths that the company's basically gone out of business and all that, and they're now considered like older toys. But they go as slow as 51 BPM. That's their slowest speed. And at that speed, they just sound lush, just sound really, really beautiful, and I really took to it. I took to that tempo. And so I started doing sort of relaxational chill out stuff at that tempo. And then I started dealing with other people around, and the tempo just started, you know, 102, IAA, you know, all that stuff started increasing. So now I do higher tempo stuff. But the 51 for me, and also then the 51 ended up, you know, I was like around 51 years old. I was around, which I guess I shouldn't say that, but that's the truth. And also 5.1 became very, very important to me. And so they all just sort of synchronously worked together, and I was really glad about that.
Do you want to talk a little bit, because you, I know that you're a serious enthusiast about the history of audio and where things have come from. Did you want to mention a little bit about the history of surround sound, and just not a big epic overview perhaps, but just the beginnings and where it's come from and where it's headed in your life right now?
Well, I'm interested in asking a question to a certain New Yorker down in the front seat, because one of my first dealings with surround was at the Eastman School of Music. I was 14 years, when I said I got started early, I got started early. At the Eastman School of Music, I was 14 years old, listening to Don Palouse play back the Leonard Bernstein's Mass in quad. And was that was done, that was Columbia.
Right.
Yeah, any dealings with that?
No, I didn't have any.
Yeah, I hope those masters exist. And we're able, you know, at least in quad and stuff. But we had the quad playback, and I of course was just like amazed. That was my first introduction to any form of surround. On a personal level, my personal first recollections of surround were when I would literally take an album, that the fold-out albums, you know, the double albums that would fold out, and I'd put the V behind my head and listen, and it would just, all of a sudden the stereo would just come to life, and I would always do that, just like wow. And so I always enjoyed that, you know, but yet the surround wasn't in my life. And for me, you know, I went through the, I'm old enough to have lived through the quad debacle, I guess you'd call it, and or wars is another word that you would say, and you know where companies, the format wars, sound familiar? So they would fight against each other, and also the media, where there would be, it was on turntables, and the needles like would have, you know, there would be carrier frequencies that you'd play the record like 18 times, and the carrier frequency would wear away, and it was just sort of nuts, and it died because of the war. It died because the medium wasn't really there. We didn't have, you know, it was before digital audio, and so, you know, I remember all that, and having dealt with the quad into surround personally. I started with Digital Audio Labs, which was a company out of Minnesota. I was good friends with them, and they gave me what is called a V8, which was a killer sound card. You know, it's as good as the best sound cards are now. It's as good as they are, if not slightly better than most of them. A lot better than a lot of the new ones coming out. And they had a surround first generation workstation. This was when workstations were first coming out. And I sort of took that, and I was just like, wow. And so I started building a pseudo surround studio, and then just sort of building, and DAL just started going a little bit under. And I took to really, I sort of bypassed Cubase and went to Nuendo. And so I started with Nuendo version 1, and now, you know, I haven't loaded 4. I still use 3. I have 4 sitting on the thing, but I, you know, so I'm a staunch Nuendo user.
Good segue. All this for you comes back to music production techniques. You're creating your own music. You're helping other people create their music in surround. You're remixing in surround. You're taking other people's formats and expanding on them and putting them into the class, five, six speakers. Talk a little bit about your particular production techniques. Where does it start? Where does it go to? And how does it evolve for you?
Yeah, I do indeed start in surround because it's with Nuendo, and I have the room set up, and it's just easy enough to do that. As Jake sort of said, I started a record label and have been working with people, and I've been so busy lately doing all that. It's been a while since I've been doing the production stuff. That's not to say that I don't have a lot ahead of me, which I do and look forward to getting to it. I just have several projects now that I've been working on getting out. But when I work in surround, I will tend to work with loops, with live instrumentation, and I work in the down-tempo electronic. And I just basically work in my own style. And so it's just a matter of fun placement. And for me, it's more fun starting off in surround. There's just more interest right off the bat. So doing the placement, the room is just more alive. As George Massenberg, as George would say, he said quite rightfully at one of the talks, surround is to stereo as stereo is to mono. And I don't believe that. I know that, because I deal with it all the time. And there are those, we're in an interesting paradoxical time right now. I think we're coming out of it a little bit, I hope, in that surround sort of really took off, and surround music was really taking off, and obviously video and film surround, that's established. Surround music was gaining in real strength. Obviously, it started with the idea of the Pink Floyd and all of that. That was surround performance, actually, and recording. And then it started moving into more recently. There would be, all the I call them the Golden Boys, the LA Boys, and all the New York guys were starting to do surround music a lot. And all of a sudden, the music, you'd start going to Tower Records back in the Tower Record days, and you'd go and actually see a section that would be surround music. Now it's music videos. And, but surround is seeming, I think because of the difficulty in the industry, how hard the industry has been hit lately, they're having a hard enough time with stereo, let alone dealing with something where there are, or were, again, the idea of format wars, sound familiar? And with the idea of what? I've tried to forget their names on purpose. DVD audio, what's the?
SACD?
Yeah, HD DVD and stuff like that, which is dead, and all of those ones are dead. And as they died, I was just like, yes! One more bites the dust. Because I was just like totally ready for them to for that little infighting just to go away, and as those mediums died off, I was just like, yeah, all right, you deserve it. And and I know a lot of people like, it has to be super hi-fi, it has to be 24,096 trillion bit, sample rate of a gazillion and all of that, and yet the average person wouldn't buy it, and the average person would get it and they wouldn't be able to play it back. I have some of those discs that are done by friends of mine that I cannot play. I don't have the hardware to play it back. And so I have some of these discs. Greg, I'd like to talk about Greg later on, Greg Penny, who is resurrected. And that's another thing to talk about later, is how surround is resurrecting masters. That's a biggie. But Greg remixed and is remixing, remastering, resurrecting the Elton John masters. And there are a lot of stories about that. Greg's one of my heroes. He's sweetie, and but I can't play it you know, I can play the stereo, and that's frustrating, you know, and how would, if I can't, how would the average person feel about that? And so, you know, and I've always been a proponent of the idea of just DVD, just making it so that somebody can play it and leave the rest as it will. I honestly believe, and I don't want to talk about this an awful lot, but I do believe that the time is coming for downloadable surround. I think that time is coming.
So just while we're near the topic, if you could design the ultimate format, you know, do you think that everyone would like? Do you think the DVD is the one that we should go with?
It's the one that we are going.
It's the one that exists now.
Yeah.
I think so. If you want absolute perfection. Elliot said, you know, that he heard about MP4 320, which I think is overkill, is a possibility for downloadable. I think he was saying that Apple was the possibility for download. I don't think that's going to happen. 320 is maybe 256, maybe. You know, I think you'd have a hard time getting people to swallow the 320 idea, but maybe. MP4 is a fine way to be able to play those back. I'm sort of amazed that DVD players more. I've seen a few, but DVD players don't have an SD card in them. And, you know, or cars don't have an SD card. You know, I know that's sort of, but, you know, a cool thing would just be, you know, put in an SD card and play your downloaded files. I do believe that time's coming. But education is one of the things with the idea. Surround is all about education. It's just all about education. And the first part of the education is hearing it, which we'll play more. I'm not done with that at all. We have a lot of things to play. So
I remember hearing secondhand anecdote by Bob Ludwig, where he goes over to his friend, says, "You got to come over and check out my surround setup." And he says, "All right, I'll go check it out." And goes to his friend's house, and he's looking around the room, and he's like, "Well, I wonder where he's hidden the speakers." And he opens up the doors of his Mediatainment Center, and there they are across the top of the television. And there's his corollary statistic was that it's estimated that about 35% of home theaters are actually set up anywhere within spec of, you know, where the speakers should be. So that's a real challenge in terms of bringing, you know, this stuff to the masses.
That's not the masses' fault. That's your fault. That's my fault. That's very much my fault. I found a fault in the connector. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's my fault too. I mean that quite seriously. I'm up here. You know, I'm talking about. I talk about surround. This is certainly not the first time I've talked about surround. I've talked to a lot of people about surround. You'll find that the word passion comes up with that. There are a lot of amazing people who are really passionate about surround and are working to get the word out. The general media at large is not one of them. Probably because they don't understand. Again, how can you be passionate about something you don't know? You know, and that's probably a big part. How can you be passionate about something you don't understand? We're designers. You. The simplicity. You know, it's all about setup simplicity. You've all seen, those of you who've run into a surround system, you know, generally are made by Sony or somebody, and it's, you know, the settings are three layers deep in the program, where, you know, everybody's pulling their hair out, including me, how does this work? You know, the manual is written in Klingon, and you can't understand anything. And to set it up is like, you know, for me would be a relative nightmare. And for the average person, it's called forget it. And to set up the speakers, it's often called, And you know, and all, and that's all about education in the media, in the magazines, in the books. I do my best with that. You know, I there's more coming. You know, I'm starting to work on MRT7 now, so you know, I definitely will improve the surround stuff. And so it's all about education. To me, again, having dealt with the tape op crowd. That's all I'll say on the matter. Why do you need surround? What is Dave? What are you talking about? What's the use of this? What's the, you know, what's the anything? And they will all die, just like completely just go, not quite you idiot, but it's sort of like, what the hell are you doing? And to that, and to students, and there are quite a bit of students here and stuff, at the absolute worst, the worst thing surround would be to you, would be, of knowing surround, would be an extra tool for you to know in your job. That's the absolute worst case scenario, reason for you to know to try to understand surround. The worst case scenario is that if somebody comes up and says, we need to have somebody to mix this film, do you understand some of the basics of surround, or can you set this up in surround? Can you do this? And you know, somebody goes, Dave, you idiot, will go, where are those books? Where is, you know, or you know, or worse, no, I can't. Which, you know, would be a really bad thing to say. You know, but at the absolute worst case scenario, it's an extra thing to pull out of your toolbox going, yes, I have a basic understanding of that. Yes, let's work together and let's try to get this out. So, you know, for film or for TV, if for nothing else, you know, try to understand that. And if you go to, like, Magnolia, if you go to talk to Derek and go to Magnolia and say, you know, can I hear a surround sound system and take something with you, you know, or say, do you have something, and listen and just sit down. I did. I took one of my project masters and took it around to all the stores up there, you know, hit them all, and they were like one was $50,000 system, one was like $35,000 system, one was $25,000. You know, the most expensive system was definitely not the best, and they all sounded radically different. And, you know, and getting used to new speakers. Right now in my studio, I'm getting used to new speakers after having my old puppies for a very long time. Getting used to speakers, that's a whole other story. That's been a rude awakening for me, is getting used to a new set of reference monitors. But just taking your puppies, going and listening and sitting down and what is this surround thing?
Along the lines of the education aspect of surround, you perform in surround. So that's a nice public venue for people experiencing something in a new way. I've been in a couple of times now, a setup where there's DJs playing records and CDs and things, and then there's you in the next room, and you've got a setup like this, and playing a very different experience than that. And of course there's DJs who are now starting to use DVDs rather than CDs to do their mixing and whatnot. Talk about a little bit about your experience with performing in surround.
First of all, I'm a member of EMC, the Electronic Music Collective, which we started here. It's a Seattle and London group. And we have musicians who come under the Oh My God Amazing category. Really superb people. Again, just to say for those 51, my site 51 BPM, you know, go there, see some of the videos, see some of the audio. Then there's the EMC thing up in the corner. There's where you can do our MySpace, the EMC MySpace, and listen to some of the people in that group. And Marcel and I were sort of like a beginning core of the surround sound fanatics. And learning how to work with live, which is really easy. I'll show you later on. I think it's a good idea if we have time to show it how to fool it to work in surround is a total no-brainer. So we do a lot of, you know, I've been doing synchronized laptop with Marcel in surround for about 4 years now. And, you know, and there was recently a Grammy event where Alan Parsons, Alan was there, and I was talking with him. And I was saying, you know, it's like, have you done surround, you're performing in surround? He goes, no, it's really too difficult. And I went, no, it's not. we sort of do it all the time. He's like, huh? And it's sort of, it doesn't always have to be that. It's as difficult as you want to make it. Live is a really good one to be able to quickly sort of move into the surround thing. If you want to do it all from a hardware standpoint, you know, then if you have the hardware mixer and the this and that, it's a pain in the butt. But still definitely doable. You know, with bus mixing, you know, even if it's a hardware console, you can do bus mixing and sort of get into stuff and off you go. It's just called experimenting. But you know, with workstations and stuff, it's far easier. So performing in surround. Haven't done it for a little while, and we're looking forward to doing it again. We did one thing in this room, which was really awesome. Were you there? It was awesome. We had the main screen, which was running visuals. And at this point, I have to stop because I have to remember things to remind you. There's a yellow sheet down here, and any of you want to sign up with your email or put a card on it or something, and I'll put you on the EMC on the 51 list, which also includes all the EMC stuff. So I'll put you on my mailing list, and so it'll tell you about this stuff that comes up, so you know about it. But we had this screen, and we had two 12 by whatever screens on the side. It's two large screens, and so the two screens on the side were playing between visuals. We'd also have the laptops, so we had the center screen, which was just doing amazing stuff. Mike was doing visuals; he's astounding. And then we had the two sides showing the actual. I'm a big believer in not. Pardon me. You know, you get a lot of laptop people who will hide right there. And just sort of, you'll see this head bounce up and down, and you know, and I'm a believer in the complete opposite. Even in performing, I would love to do that, you know, and as much as I can, I do that. Because that's a big interest. It's like, how does this stuff work? What is he doing? What is she doing? What is, you know, what are they doing when it's a whole crew of synchronized, you know, you have all the laptops synced up. And we had it in full surround. Thank you, Sarah. You're a sweetheart. You're wonderful. We love you. You know, it's like cornered the rock. So that was awesome. And we look forward to doing more. I was down in LA and at the Temple Bar, and Carmen Rizzo was playing and stuff. Went back and talked with the audio guy. And he is, and I was like, have you ever done surround in here? He's like, wow, no, wow, we'd love to. Isn't that complicated? You know, isn't that complicated thing? And I was like, no, it's not that difficult, you know. And so now we have it on our sites. It would be great to, you know, to do some of that. We have some larger sites, thanks to some wonderful other people. You know, hopefully EMC has like this future ahead. But it's, it will. I mean, it's just been doing well. But you know, to bring surround to that is, you know, and so here in Seattle, I don't want to say because of me, but I'm definitely part of. I mean, there are other people that are definitely doing surround. Yeah, there's Tipper who just moved back to. I guess he's in Hawaii now, and stuff. And you know, he works in surround. Who else works in surround? There's a handful of major acts that work in surround. Amon Tobin, Spangled, does he perform in surround? Yeah. You know, and I think it would be, I was going to talk about something, but I won't. You'll hear about it when it happens. So
let's go through nuts and bolts just of this particular session that's up and live, and just some basic thoughts about how do you go about setting up a file like this. We heard you know, your loops playing and whatnot, but what are you doing to the outputs and where are they going? Very basic terms.
Well, I'll tell you. Let me try something. I guess I should have saved that. That's fine. Let me pull up a project that I know is in stereo. Did I want to do that? Let's see how bad I can screw myself up. Okay, fine. One of these days I'll try to understand the way that it deals with file structure, or the Swedish way, or German, or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm going to take this down so we'll have more real estate. So if I play I have a project, like I said, I had these projects that I'm working on and getting out, and working on a project, Collabs, which is just about to come out. This is from that. It's collaborations. Every single song on the disc is a collaboration with different artists. Here in the Northwest, in the UK, and in Italy, in Milan. And this is Musetta from Milan. And so let me pull up. Laz is gone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna perform a little bit with it. If it'll let me. What I've done is at home, out of the workstation, I've basically taken. Is anybody home? The basic tracks, wait till mine goes off, those I can't talk. You'll see 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6. And at the bottom it says audio 2 master, which is indeed left and right, which is what everybody does. And so indeed what that is the, I deal with, again, format wars. I personally stick to the Steinberg convention, which I think is also the Dolby convention. I have to be careful in this room. You guys know what you're talking about. But left, right, center, sub, left, right, which is not always. Yes, sir.
That's your laser pointer.
Awesome.
Oh. This is my first time using a laser pointer, and I'm not kidding. All right, that's a first for everything. I won't do it. Okay, did it. That's right. So 1 and 2 is left, right. 3 and 4 is center, sub. And in this way, I've actually taken 3 and 4. I've It's sort of a complicated process because you have to choose beforehand what is the left and right, you know, what's going to be in the left and right, what's going to be in the center sub, which I take as the stereo, the kick and the basses and the low end kind of stuff. But instead of going center sub, which, you know, I do it as the whole bass array. And then it'll go to the center, and it'll go to the sub, and however it goes there is the way it goes. That's how it goes. And then 5 and 6, 5 and 6 is the rears. So as you see these goes to the master. So they go all to stereo. So when you sum all these three, I guess you'd call them stems together, you get the stereo mix. What I just played. And then there are additional loops that go in that you can basically just perform on the fly. And so I take this puppy now, and I take and go external out, and go, and it goes 1 and 2, which is fine. And now I'm going to go external out and go 3 and 4, which is now center sub, and then you go external out 5 and 6, which is rear, and let's take Marianella. How's that for a name? Let's take Marianella and put her, she was already there, but I just wanted to make sure. And now let's just play the basic tracks. Bass. Laz left. He wanted to make sure we had the subs.
You want it louder?
No, it's fine. It's not louder. No, thank you, Sarah. No, thank you, sweetheart. Now I'm going to take the incidental stuff and just sort of put it wherever I damn well feel like it. And let's just...
Can you change that up?
Yeah, you can, actually. I tend not to, but you can. And that's one thing that I need to do, is need to get into being more experimentative about, you know. Marcel, as you know, one of his monikers is like effect unit, which he's like, and I should do that. Is that the vac?
huge difference. And
a huge difference. So people are there are those who are starting to wake up to that fact. Now that I've done this, I might as well do this.
So perhaps take the break here. We'll do our little halftime show that we've got. And when we come back, a few more demos and a little more talking, then questions and answers, and like that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I think I want to play this before we go. Before we do the break. I think it's a good idea. Sir, the levels are going to be a little wacky. Let me change this over.
Fine, wacky.
Maybe it's that that Microsoft one. It might be loud.
No, he didn't get paid for playing that.
No. I was like, well, you know, Windows Media 9 was really the first codec that I know of that really worked well for surround. You know, Microsoft did everything to try to not let people know about it. So that was their little intro flash to Windows Media 9, which was pretty cool.
Thanks.
All right, so we'll take a break. We'll do the halftime stuff when we come back, and we'll hear some more from Dave Huber. Thanks. Oh, there's food and water, all for free. Talk to Rick Chin. And if you're in my class and you haven't signed into my sheet, you will get a zero on the midterm. So.